We're going to take our reading from James chapter 3 and verse 13, and we're going to read through to chapter 4 verse 6. So please, if you would, follow along as I read aloud. James chapter 3 verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. I have to confess that this past week I was somewhat distracted by the events that unfolded in our nation's capital, and perhaps you were too. If you have only a passing interest in politics, you will know that what took place was extraordinary. Now, sadly, what we witnessed has become rather familiar to us over the last decade, and frankly, it's an embarrassment to our country. We are a laughingstock on the international stage. Now, because these events have been on our minds, or at least they've been on my mind, I thought it would be appropriate to talk about them tonight and have them lead us into a message from God's Word, a message that we need to be reminded of. Now, this latest episode seems to have been particularly rancorous and bitter. It got so bad that on Thursday, the government adjourned the House of Representatives so it could sort out the mess it found itself in. Now, as I understand it, the last time that happened was in 1971, and it may have never happened before. Now, I'm not here tonight to provide political commentary or to say that one side is any better or worse than the other. Whatever our political persuasion might be, I think we can all agree that the behaviour of our leaders over the last week has left an awful lot to be desired. The disunity, the contention, the animosity, it was all there on vivid display. And a great many of us have been totally appalled by it. Now, I recognise that politics is a tough game, and I believe that we are best served when there is a vigorous contest of ideas, and it's a good thing to fight for the ideas you believe in. I have no problem with that, and I'm not naive about the way our parliamentary system works and about the way political parties operate. But there is a point at which pride and personal advancement become the primary motivations. And from what we've seen over the last week and over the last decade, it's hard to argue that these haven't been major factors in what's transpired. At times, it has seemed as though our leaders care more about themselves than they do the country, and that is both infuriating and depressing. Now, I was out doing some exercise last week. I had the earbuds in and I was listening to the radio and to all the news. And what struck me was the scale and the intensity of this most recent round of infighting. And again, it's happened on both sides. I'm not trying to make a political statement. But there were people really going at it. There were people really determined to bring down their leader. There were people absolutely intent on taking power and enforcing their particular perspective. It seems as though the contest got very personal and very nasty. There were people on the same side fighting each other tooth and nail. But it's not just political parties. This is something we see in all kinds of organisations. If you follow sport, you will know that there are occasions when sporting clubs become bitterly divided, and people who are supposedly on the same team, who are supposedly working towards the same goals, end up fighting each other. And there is gossip and rumours and slander and factions. It's terrible. Those who follow the NRL know that at the moment the Manly Seagulls find themselves in precisely this situation. The club is racked by internal conflict and it's ruining their prospects. Now, as I was out getting some exercise, the question occurred to me, where does all this conflict come from? Why do people fight each other like this? And then almost immediately a text of scripture came to mind. And it's what I want to consider with you tonight. I want to look at just one verse and draw out some lessons. Let's see if we can turn all of that ugliness in Canberra this week into a blessing for us tonight. The verse we're going to look at asks and then answers this question very clearly. James chapter 4 verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? The first thing I want us to notice is who James is talking to. Now, while what he says is certainly true of the world, it's true of people in general, that's not his focus. Look again at the text. Don't miss it. Maybe you want to underline it. From whence come wars and fightings among you? And James is writing to Christians. Probably Christians who are among the Jewish diaspora, living in cities and towns around the Roman Empire. He is referring to wars and fightings in their churches, wars and fightings in their families. Can Christians fight with each other? Can Christian churches be places of conflict? Can there be fighting in Christian marriages and Christian families? We know the answer, don't we? Sadly, Christians can fight like the best of them, or should I say like the worst of them. Churches can be places where the bitterest of conflicts occur. Our marriages, our families can be characterised by what James talks about here. So while we look on with disgust at how our politicians have been behaving, let's not be so quick to judge. Maybe there's something substantial in our own eye. And maybe our home situation is not so happy. Maybe the same attitudes and the same behaviours are present and doing harm to those we love. So there is a message for us in this text. This is addressed to the people of God, and that brings us to the second thing I want us to concentrate on, and that is the two words that James uses here, wars and fightings. Now, what in particular is he referring to? The Greek word translated wars is the plural form of the word polemos. We get our English word polemic from this Greek word, and this word was used to refer to actual wars where men with weapons fought each other. Perhaps physical violence is suggested here, but it's unlikely. James was probably using this word figuratively, and I think our English word polemic helps us understand what James meant. A polemic is a strong verbal or written attack on a person, position, or idea. Okay, it's forceful. It's hostile. It's where a speaker or an author really goes for it. And that's what James has in view here, this kind of behaviour, people verbally attacking one another, being hostile in their demeanour and in their speech. The word translated fightings refers to battles and conflicts. Again, the word is used figuratively, and it probably speaks of the actual flare-ups, the instances where people argue and shout and say hurtful things to each other. Some suggest that the word wars refers to the overall campaign and the word fightings to the battles that break out from time to time. So if we want to put this in terms of what we've seen unfold in Canberra, there has been a war going on between the two sides. There's been a long campaign of animosity. And then this week we saw the fightings. You know, the sides engaged each other. Harsh words were exchanged. Texts and tweets and threats and so forth. And when it comes to James' original readers, one scholar explains it this way. James is not dealing with the academic question of war, and it is most natural to see a reference to the factional bickerings in the churches, the personal wrangles that embitter church life. Now, we have no explicit indication as to what these disputes were about, but James seems to be bothered more by the selfish spirit and bitterness of the quarrels than by the rights and wrongs of the various viewpoints. This picture of open quarrels and bitter disputes among the readers of this letter at once dissipates any view that apostolic churches were ideal churches. Apostolic churches were just like churches today, it seems. Conflicts, quarrels, squabbling, arguments, bickering, grudges, factions, gossip, the cold shoulder, payback, slander, abuse, bullying. All of these behaviours and many others are included in these two words, wars and fightings. And the question James asks and answers is, where does it all come from? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Why do you behave this way? And James answers this question with another question, but it's a rhetorical one. The answer is strongly implied. Come they not hence, even of your lusts? In other words, don't wars and fightings come from your lusts? Aren't they the outflow? Aren't they the result of your lusts? Aren't your lusts the origin, the source of these wars and fightings? The answer, of course, is yes. The Greek word translated lusts here is not the common word that's used in the New Testament. The common word is one that refers simply to strong desire, and it's used both positively and negatively. This is the Greek word hedone, from which we get our English word hedonism. And this word is always used in a negative sense in the Bible. This is not just a strong desire, but a strong desire for pleasure. A strong desire for that which pleases, for that which feels good. And usually it refers to that which pleases the body. Although I think in context here it includes that which is pleasing to the mind and pleasing to the ego. One author explains it this way. This word is commonly applied to the pleasures of sense, and sense denotes desire, appetite, lust. It may be applied to any desire of sensual gratification, and then to the indulgence of any corrupt propensity of the mind. The lust or desire of plunder, of ambition, of fame, of a more extended dominion would be properly embraced in the meaning of the word. The word would equally comprehend the spirit which leads to a brawl in the street and that which prompted the conquests of Alexander, Caesar, or Napoleon. Now, it's perfectly normal to want things that make us feel good. After dinner on Thursday evening, I had a desire to experience the pleasure that comes from eating ice cream. And so I went to Baskin and Robin and bought an ice cream and I enjoyed it. It was a lovely experience. I had the dulce de leche flavour, which is a caramel flavoured ice cream with a ribbon of caramel running through it. It was great. And there was nothing wrong with that desire or with satisfying that desire. And so we have to be careful about how we think about this. Note carefully what James says about these lusts, these hedonon. He says, they war in your members. These are desires for pleasure that literally carry on a military campaign in your members, that is, in your body. There is a negative connotation here. These desires are battling inside of us, fighting to be gratified. They're actually warring against us. For Christians, they're in opposition to what God wants us to do. They're fighting against the influence of the Spirit of God in our life. Now, these are desires that cannot be legitimately satisfied. That is, desires for things or experiences that God forbids. Now, there are some forms of pleasure that can never be righteously enjoyed. Like, for example, the pleasure that comes from being intoxicated with alcohol. We might call these sinful pleasures. And these are also desires to have and to experience pleasurable things outside the boundaries God has set. The desire can be righteously satisfied, the pleasure can be righteously experienced, but we want to enjoy it outside the boundaries God has set. These are the lusts that James has in view here, and I think we all know what he's talking about. Please don't let me overcomplicate this for you. Although he uses a different Greek word, I think the Apostle Peter presents us with the same idea. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." That there are these strong desires that belong to the flesh that war against our soul. If we satisfy them, we do damage to our soul. And this is where all the fighting comes from. The fighting we saw in Canberra last week and the fighting that goes on in our own families. Now, I want this thing that pleases me. I want to enjoy myself. I want the place of influence. I want the attention. I want to have my way because having my way feels so good. I have these desires that win the war inside of me. As a Christian, I know what God says, I know what's right, I recognize the influence of the Spirit of God operating upon my conscience, urging me to resist, to say no to these desires, but I relent. And that's why I end up going to war with others. I think we've all been here. We really wanted something. And that desire built up and built up and built up inside of us. And we knew that if we tried to get that thing, it was going to hurt someone. We knew it would involve treating someone badly, but we just had to have it. And so eventually we just went for it. And what happened? Wars and fightings. Or how about this scenario? Someone let us down, someone treated us poorly, and we were upset, legitimately so. Angry feelings began to well up inside, and we just wanted to blast that person. We wanted to tell them right off. Now, because we are a child of God and have the Holy Spirit, we knew it would be wrong to do that. We knew it was just bitterness. We knew it was just vengeance and spite and hatred. But again, it built up and built up and built up. And then one day, blah, it all came out and we gave that person a real spray. And it felt good. It was a pleasurable experience to give voice to our anger, to let it all flow out. But then what happened? Wars and fightings. Lots of wars and fightings. You see, it all comes back to what's going on in here. Where does all the fighting come from? It comes from the inner man. It comes from the heart. And here's the lesson from what we've seen this week, and more importantly, the lesson from God's word tonight. We have to win the war within if we're going to avoid war with each other. We have to win the war within if we're going to avoid war with each other. And Paul explained it in Galatians chapter 5. We're familiar with this text. The works of the flesh, the outworking of these lusts that James is talking about include hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, and even murder. And none of us want these. These destroy marriages and families and friendships and churches. These destroy all the good things that God blesses us with. And so what do we have to do? What does Paul say? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't behave this way. These works will not be found in our midst. Walk. Live by means of the Holy Spirit. That is, under His rule and by His power. Day by day, we have to be enabled and strengthened by the Lord Jesus Christ through the indwelling Holy Spirit. His influence in our lives has to be stronger than these desires that are warring within us. It's the only way to avoid the conflict and the disunity and the hurt. And His influence is only strengthened, His power only flows as we apply ourselves to His word and to prayer and to fellowship, to the ordinary means of grace. Now, I don't want wars and fightings in my home. I don't want wars and fightings in my friendships. I don't want wars and fightings in my church. I want love. I want joy. I want peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. I want this good fruit to flourish. And I know you do too. So let's take heed to the lesson that God has for us. In response to what we've witnessed this week and what we've heard tonight, let's commit ourselves afresh to walking in the Spirit. Amen.